And welcome back to Community Voices. And we have Congressman Rob Bishop on the line, correct? Are you there, sir?
I am here.
Okay, very fine. Well, this is about a half-hour-long debate between you and Donna McAleer in the studio in Park City. And we wanted to give each of you the opportunity to first tell who you are and why you're running, and we'll give you each a couple of minutes. And Congressman Bishop, why don't you begin with telling us who you are and why you want to go back there?
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to be on the air with y'all. I have lived and worked my entire life in the first district. My five kids live in this district. Before I went to Congress, I was a school teacher. I spent 28 years in the classroom. And the insights I learned there, I think, give me the right position on the issues that impact this first district. While teaching, I also served in the legislature, where I was the majority leader. And then both parties unanimously elected me to be Speaker of the House, which is only the second time that's happened since World War II. But that gave me the right experiences to go back to Washington. When we first went back there, I was told there was no way I could stop the high-level nuclear spent fuel rods from being stored above ground by a bombing range. It took us 3 years, but we were able to use the experience learned in the legislature to stop that. Even there in Park City, we were able to get the Gamble Oaks property turned over from the federal government to Park City, working with the Park City government, as well as the intense bureaucratic red tape back here. It was started by my predecessor. It took a long time, but nonetheless, even though I was in the minority at the time, we were able to get that transferred. I'm looking forward to the future. Immigration will not have a complete solution until we, first of all, have border security. I'm proud that my border bill passed the House recently with an unusual amount of Democrat support. We are looking at the future of military spending, especially at bases like Hill Air Force Base, hopefully being able to give Utah more control of their own destiny and their own lands, and finally recognizing that the principle that will save this country is federalism. I learned that as Speaker when we started the Western States Coalition, and that's one of the reasons why I'm chairman of the 10th Amendment Task Force. That is the future for which I am working and would like to go back to Washington to fulfill. Thank you.
Okay, that was Rob Bishop of the district, first district incumbent. And now, Donna McAleer, tell us why you would like to go to Congress to replace him.
Larry, Beth, KPCW, thanks for this awesome opportunity. I'm Donna McAleer, and I'm interviewing to be your next Congresswoman. When I was 17, I made the decision to serve our country. I graduated from West Point, was commissioned an officer in the United States Army. For me, it was a simple decision about serving. I believe in our country, the freedoms we hold, and the opportunities afforded to us all. And when I left the military, I carried with me the ideals of duty, integrity, service, and a commitment to a mission. During this campaign, I have traveled extensively throughout this expansive new first district and visited with many voters, seniors, students, entrepreneurs, teachers, and working families, and I've listened to their cares and concerns. Utahns are really angry with Washington and tired of gridlock, obstructionism, and polarization. They just want Congress to do their job and focus on their mission. Unfortunately, our current legislature does not reflect nor act in a way that our nation's founders intended. The 112th Congress is the do-nothing Congress. This Congress has the worst historical approval rating ever, an abysmal 10%. Yet 85% of incumbents get reelected. Would you still have a job if you only delivered results 10% of the time? My opponent has been part of this problem. Why should we trust him now after 10 years in office? His voting record shows the evidence of misplaced priorities, putting big business and special interests above the needs of Utahns. And even worse, he has voted for his own pay raise 3 times while voting against increasing pay to our deployed troops. Quite simply, he's gone Washington. Missing in Congress are business leaders, veterans, farmers, healthcare providers, ranchers, scientists, and nonprofit leaders who have practical, grounded experience in finding long-term solutions to problems and who are interested in cooperation and collaboration. I'm campaigning to be part of the solution, not the unprecedented gridlock that exists and that my opponent has recently called historical and normal. As your representative in Congress, my focus is on mission and Utah priorities, strengthening education, building a strong economy, developing energy responsibly and sustainably, and stewarding our public lands.
Okay, and we will get into specifics as we move along. And Congressman Bishop, the first question, let me first say, you can get into the questioning if you'd like online. We're accepting questions at election@kpcw.org. That's election@kpcw.org. And we have three pages of questions, and some are quite pointed. And I'm going to start with a listener question from Representative Bishop. You've been in Congress 10 years, and we're approaching a fiscal cliff, a massive deficit, and an unprecedented gridlock in Congress. Why should we trust you to get us out of this mess when you've been participating there for the last 10 years, helping it happen? And then the follow-up question is to Donna McAleer, which is, what makes you think that with no previous political experience that you have the qualifications to help lead us out of this mess in Washington? That is a question from Park City. And Congressman Bishop, your response.
Well, you have to realize that actually I have been there for 10 years, and for all but the last 2 years, we've been able to accomplish everything that was supposed to be there. It is a uniqueness of personality that has developed right now. And as I have said before, if you actually view what is taking place in Washington, it's not a Republican-Democrat split. It's a Senate-House split that is taking place. The House has done its work. We have passed a budget each of the years that we have been there, including the last three. The Senate has not. We have passed the 40 jobs bill that are still sitting in the Senate. We passed over 100 bills that are still sitting in the Senate, having never been debated, almost all of those having a strong bipartisan affirmative vote. Yeah, there is a problem right now, but it deals with the fact that the Senate has refused to move forward for whatever reasons Harry Reid wishes to have. I really think that once the election is over and Mr. Reid no longer wants to protect his members from certain votes, that we will move forward the quick solution of those. But you have to put the problem where it actually belongs. It is the fact that the Senate has not responded to anything the House has sent over. In those few areas where the Senate has, specifically the Transportation Bill, the Department of Defense Bill, I've sat on those conference committees, and we have been able to get those things accomplished.
Okay,
so it is. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're trying to keep these answers to about a minute.
You got it.
So
no
that
problem.
We can get through a lot of subjects, and then you can come back with a 30-second rebuttal if you
sure.
want after Donna McAleer's response. Donna.
Well, Larry, I think it's a great question from the listeners. I mean, the challenge is when Representative Bishop talks about fiscal responsibility and bipartisanship, he puts the blame on the Senate. His idea of the GOP did its job by passing budgets, I think, is malarkey. It's not doing your job. It's staking your claim and moving off it. And why is it that his position is that the House negotiates with the Senate? Why won't the GOP negotiate with the House Dems? That would make it much easier than taking on the Democrats in the Senate. So Washington needs to work together. Balancing the budget is one of the most significant and pressing issues facing a nation. And elected officials have a legal and moral obligation to be the steward of tax revenues. And we need to look at this on both ways. We need to look at expenses and revenues. We must scrutinize every dollar, and we must consider all serious proposals. We need comprehensive tax reform. We need to close loopholes. We can't just place the blame on the other House.
And a quick, questioner also wanted to know, why do you have, with no experience in Congress, the skills to go there?
Because I've led a global division of a multi-million-dollar technology company. I've actually created jobs. I've actually had to make payroll. I've actually had to put in cuts. As the leader of a not-for-profit healthcare system, I've seen the importance of providing healthcare to people without insurance. As a mother and with a daughter in public school, I see the importance of education. I haven't just been a career politician. I've actually walked the walk.
Okay, Congressman Bishop, you have 30 seconds if you care to respond, and then Mrs. McAleer will have 30 seconds as well.
Yeah, I'll do the same thing again. Look, the bottom line is I know how to work the system. I have passed the Gamble Oaks bill while I was in the minority. I passed the West Desert Wilderness against the nuclear spent rods while in the majority. If it wasn't clear the first time, almost all of the bills that have passed the House, the overwhelming majority, have been done with bipartisan votes. The House is doing its work. if Ms. McAleer wants to be part of the solution, she should have run for the Senate, because that is indeed where the problem lies. Simplistic answers aren't going to solve the problem, and a freshman is not going to solve the problem any better than anyone else could.
Okay.
Donna, you have stated that you support some parts of the Affordable Health Care Act. Which parts do you support, and what alternative solutions do you have in mind?
I think as a leader of the People's Health Clinic and having turned that organization around, I truly understand the importance of providing health care to people without insurance. A healthy population is an important part of our economy, and healthy children learn better in school. I think the Affordable Health Care Act is a move in the right direction. When we talk about reform to health care, there are two distinct issues. Access to care, which I think for the most part the Affordable Health Care Act has done well, and paying for care, which is still flawed under this current system. But as with any major piece of legislation, it needs to be reviewed and updated. The parts that I think are a good part of it is there's no more discrimination for pre-existing conditions. In Utah, especially with such a young population, it allows people to young people under the age of 26 to stay on their parents' insurance plan. It also closes a major donut hole for seniors in terms of prescription drugs and medical costs. So I think those are some of the really good parts of it. We need to look at how it affects small businesses and businesses in terms of their health care costs.
Congressman Bishop.
Well, the problem with Obamacare was it's a horrible government grab that is not going to work. The cost of it, by all our estimates, are increasing every time they relook at it. It took money from Medicare, and it would implant a non-elected panel to make decisions on what health care could be given in the future. The better bill that should have passed was by John Shattuck, which would remove any barriers that are there for free market elements of people being able to go in there and get some kind of insurance. The solution, though, still rests in empowering states to come up with elements that meet the demographics of those states. State of Utah made a wonderful element with its effort to come up with an exchange which meets the demographics of Utah. Unfortunately, a passage of Obamacare basically shut off our future to move that forward. States can be more creative, they can be more effective, and they can be more just if we give them the power, the tools, and the opportunity to solve this problem. That's the direction we should be going. Obamacare is a totally wrong approach.
Okay, do you have a 30-second rebuttal?
Well, it's interesting here in Utah that 70% of our Medicaid funding comes from the federal government. We have a third of our population that are children here. A lot of that health care and CHIP, again, comes from both the state and the federal government. Yes, Utah has gone a long way in creating an exchange and a compact, and I think there are some models there. But we need to broadly look at it. The congressman has had several years to address health care. Just fighting against the Affordable Health Care Act is not the answer.
Congressman, do you have a 30-second rebuttal to that?
No, I mean, the simple solution is allowing the state to go forward with its own exchange program to meet the needs of our state. Unfortunately, Obamacare stopped that.
It's interesting when you have health care for life and you've never had to actually go out and purchase or negotiate health care for the congressman to say that.
Congressman?
I don't know actually what she's talking about, but yeah, my school district was very kind to have health care. I appreciate that.
Okay, let's move on to the listener question, and that is for Congressman Bishop. And let me see where it is. Yes, okay. I would like to ask you why you're so obsessed with federalism and taking the beauties of this state and putting it in the hands of developers. What have you done to show you care about all the people of your district? This gets to the broader question over who should control federal lands within the boundaries of the state. Do you want to comment on that? You're a member of Natural Resources Committee and have been working on these bills for some time.
Yeah, the question is slightly distorted in its impact and what it tries to pretend. The idea is not that you're going to give everything over to developers. That's a silly concept. The fact of the matter is Utah has always been a public land state. It will always be a public land state. The question that should be asked is who should be in charge of those public lands? Who should be making the decisions? Should it be people here in Utah, or should it be bureaucrats who sit back in Washington? I have found that when I'm dealing with the Park Service and the Forest Service and the BLM here in the state of Utah, those on the ground generally know what is going on. It's only when we take those issues back in Washington that they get confused. So the entire effort that we have is to make sure that Utahns have control of these lands so that Utahns can get the benefits of them, but also Utahns can protect those areas that should be used for recreation, for hunting, for fishing, and also some areas of conservation. Utahns are intelligent enough to be able to do it. We don't have to rely on Washington for that.
Mrs. McAleer.
Well, I think the congressman talks out of both sides of his mouth when he talks out of both of federalism and public lands. When the pioneers came upon this incredibly beautiful mountain range, they recognized immediately the glory and the need for stewardship of this land. Congressman Bishop talks about federalism and the states, and Utah knows best. But at the end of the day, the circumstance shows that Rob Bishop, an individual who continues to tout states' rights, has taunted the federal government for its central control. He's put this in a one bill, and he's totally abandoned his principles of stated principles of state and local input. This was evidence with the ski link in trying to ramrod this through. So you can't have it both ways. We have incredible resources in our natural land and our iconic wilderness here. And the public mows much of this land. And there's a way to handle it. And it's a way that Governor Leavitt, Governor Bangeter, Governor Huntsman did. They sat down, they discussed and negotiated. This congressman has just demanded that the federal government turn over land.
Okay, 30-second response, Congressman.
Well, Ms. McAleer is inaccurate in the accusations she makes right there, especially in comparison to the other governors. The bottom line is as follows. Pioneers understood the concept of stewardship. The federal government has failed in its stewardship right now, and it's time for Utah to take over. The idea that only Washington is smart enough to be able to control the future of this state is a ridiculous argument to make.
Switching gears a little bit, Donna, many states have recently passed legislation tying teachers' performances to their pay, and we also have the race to the top encouraged by Obama. Can you comment on that? Do you think that we should tie teachers' performance to their paychecks?
Well, I think in many industries you do have pay for performance. I think in the teaching profession, it's a challenge. Today, our teachers are asked to be so many things. They're asked to be much more than teachers. They're asked to be parents. They're asked to be counselors. They're asked to be sometimes healthcare professionals. They're asked to be guidance counselors. We have many different learning styles and differences in the class. So one direct pay for performance in teaching, I think, is very difficult. I think we need multiple assessments, not only in terms of how well teachers are doing, but how teachers are adding to their knowledge base, how they are taking what they're teaching in the classroom from an academic standpoint and helping children learn how to apply it. So I do think we need to come up with a way to better evaluate teachers, but we need that input from local teachers. We need it from parents. We need it from educators. Education is a community decision.
Congressman.
Let me try and answer the question. The first answer is no. And the second part of that question is you do not let the federal government become involved in this or any other issue that deals specifically with how schools are managed in the state of Utah or any other state. The federal government does not have the mechanism to distribute funds equally amongst the state. More importantly, the federal government, when it established the Department of Education, specifically prohibited them from being involved in curriculum or these kind of management decisions. If decisions are going to be made about education, they have to be made at a level where the people, the parents, actually, they're responsible for the kids. They have some kind of access. You can do that with the local state school board. You cannot do that. You cannot do that with the Department of Education back in Washington. And even though this is still a minute I've got in here, let me throw back in there to the last question when Ms. McAleer's talked about the governors. I hate to say this to you, but Scott Matheson, when he was governor of Utah, proposed the same thing about public lands that I'm proposing.
Okay, a rebuttal.
Well, I agree. The size and the bureaucracy in the federal government are not conducive to bringing flexibility, creativity, and innovation to bear in K through 12. But the government does play an important role, and that's a reasonable level of consistency and competence across schools and the states. I think we also need to look at early education funding and Head Start programs. Quality early education benefits children of all social and economic groups, and they're both long and short-term economic benefits to taxpayers in the community if early education that meets high standards is available to all children. And we have to start with those that are the most disadvantaged. We need to have children at the kindergarten level, at the first grade level, reading at grade level. That saves us time and money later on.
Okay. The former teacher, Congressman Bishop, gets the last word on this subject.
No, actually, we're saying both the same thing, that that what you need is the ability of having schools to be accountable to parents. You need to make sure that the funding is not going to be supervised by the federal government because they will do it unfairly and inaccurately.
Okay. Next question is directed to Congressman Bishop first, and it comes from a listener who writes in and says, Alan Simpson, the former senator from Wyoming, and a frequent guest on our show, just a delightful guest, and has a great way of saying things, recently said that anyone who signs one of those gosh darned pledges has rocks for brains. These are the pledges to never raise taxes. To start the campaign season, the listener says Rob Bishop signed such a pledge and has painted himself into a philosophical and political corner. With Congress's approval rating at only 10%, why should I vote for Rob Bishop when he's pledged to participate in the same old partisan politics? And for Donna McAleer, as part of your answer, how do you see yourself working on both sides of the political aisle to get things done, Congressman?
That's a cute question, but...
Well, it may have been submitted by a partisan, but it is a fair question.
It's a fair question, only to say that I signed the pledge because I philosophically agree with the pledge. I have worked very hard in my entire time I have been back there, as I did in the state legislature, to make sure that we keep taxes low. The money is your money. You deserve to keep it. You know better how to spend your money than the federal government does. We don't have an income problem in Washington. We simply have a spending problem in Washington. And we will never get our budget under control until we start recognizing that what we have to do is have a spending solution. And that's where federalism comes in one more time. It is not an issue of what has to be done. It is an issue of who has to be responsible for what. We can solve our problems if we go back to what the Founding Fathers were talking about with federalism, and that does not mean you have to raise taxes to do it. There are other mechanisms that we include that we simply have.
Hill Air Force Base.
Wait. Oh, we need a response there and rebuttals.
Well, I think it's a great question. Again, we need to look at both sides, and I believe when it comes to dealing with debt, everything needs to be on the table. And that means balancing the budget with the right priorities, looking at both sides of the balance sheet, just like I did when I was running the global division of a technology company and as the executive director of a not-for-profit. It's ironic that my opponent talks about fiscal responsibility because his actions speak a lot louder than his words. Not only the pledges he signed, but the $6.5 billion in earmarks that he's requested. This is a fact that he's not showing leadership. 95% of those $6.5 billion in earmarks went to his campaign contributors. The Deseret News called him the king of earmarks. And to give you a comparison, he requested 115 times more than Congressman Matheson, and his own colleague, Jason Chaffetz, called them a cancer. So how can we talk about fiscal responsibility out one side of our mouth and say something else out of the other?
Congressman Bishop, 30 seconds to rebut.
Yeah, in 30 seconds. Ms. McAleer has opened up a whole different issue at this time, but let me try and do it as quickly as I can. She's playing around with numbers that are inaccurate and unfair. If you would look at what those requests were, the bulk of it came from requesting one plane that the president did not want, and yeah, I thought we needed that new plane for the Air Force. And it was done by Boeing Company, which is why 95% of them supposedly gave me money. It actually came from one company that was building that plane. And I was credited because I signed the letter that said we need that plane with the full cost of that plane as far as an earmark. So, you know, the numbers are accurate, but they are misinterpreted. And as she is saying in there, I'm sorry, she's playing around with numbers that don't give an accurate picture of what reality was. And I can't do any more than that in 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Okay. Donna McAleer, one final response on that subject.
I'm not the one who named you the king of earmarks in 2009. That's the Deseret News. You can look at the facts. 95% went to his campaign contributors. So talking about fiscal responsibility and leadership means walking the walk as well as talking the talk. And Congressman Bishop has not done it.
Okay, this question is going to be directed to both of you. We'll start with Donna. Hill Air Force, or what is your position on immigration reform? Can you be specific? Do you support the DREAM Act?
Yes, I do support the DREAM Act. There's no doubt that our immigration system is broken and needs comprehensive reform. I'm the daughter of a Hungarian immigrant who came to this country legally through Ellis Island. And I think reform must be grounded in securing our borders in the interests of national security, but defining a path to citizenship for individuals and families who are already part of our economy. One of the aspects of our dysfunctional immigration system that is rarely mentioned is historical immigration quotas. Our current policy seeks to control those numbers of people from countries and defines how they would stipulate the kind of jobs they need to work. We need to look at that policy. It's time to rethink this and really relate it to supply and demand of our workforce. And yes, I support the DREAM Act as a way for children of immigrant families to earn a path through citizenship through military service or higher education. We want everybody to be able to pursue the American dream and be a contributing member of society.
Okay, Congressman Bishop.
C.S. Lewis said, if you do first things first, second things will be added to it. If you do second things first, you will accomplish neither first nor second things. The entire issue of immigration has to have first things first, and that is the control of the border. Until we can honestly look Americans in the eye and say we are in control of our borders, there will always be too much animosity and too much anger to move to other issues and actually solve what is a solvable problem. And that's why my bill, 1505, deals with the issue of border security. If a bathtub is overflowing, the first thing you have to do is turn off the faucet. Until you can actually control the borders, you will never get people to sit down and make the compromises that are necessary to come up with a comprehensive immigration plan. And I want a comprehensive immigration plan. And I'm glad that my bill to actually control the borders is moving forward and is moving forward with a bipartisan vote.
Okay, Ms. McAleer, rebuttal.
Well, we need to have our borders secure in the interest of national securities, but we've got to simultaneously define a path to citizenship. And this is best done at the national level. The state of Utah has done a good job with the Utah Compact and could be a model at the national level.
Okay. Anything else on that subject? I think we've covered it. Okay. Now, time has flown, and we've pretty much run out. So the congressman agreed to be with us for half an hour, and the half hour has expired. So it's time for some closing statements. And, Congressman, you were not present because you're up in northern Utah today. So we did a coin flip and assigned you tails and Mrs. McAleer heads, and she elected to go last. So you have the floor, Congressman Bishop, for a wrap-up comment.
Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you accommodating what's going to be a very busy day when I have some limited mobility. So thank you so very much about that. For those who are listening, you know, this election is not about me. It's not about the other two candidates who are running. It's still about you because it's still your Congress. It's your government. It's your future. And your question should be, who would best represent you in Washington? Who has the right experience and the right philosophy, as well as the right positions to be most effective for the state of Utah? I have tried to keep taxes low year in and year out. I have voted for the leanest budgets that are there. I am concerned about moving forward with military preparedness, the resources, education, and border security. We have the opportunity of following the failed policies of Speaker Pelosi. Last election, they were roundly rejected by the American people and the citizens of Utah. I don't want to return back to those failed policies, rather to move forward with the right policies that try to empower states and empower people and not bureaucrats in Washington. That's still the goal I have. It's still for which I will work, and thank you for allowing me to be on your program.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Bishop, and now Donna McAleer.
Thank you again, KPCW, Larry, Beth, and all the listeners. Congress is not delivering results. I'm campaigning to be part of the solution, not the gridlock that's plagued Washington and continues to delay decisions that affect us all. At 17, I took an oath of service to the country. I learned in the military, mission matters, and Congress has lost its focus on the mission. I have the right experience, having led a global division of a technology firm. I created jobs across the supply chain and managed multi-million dollar budgets. As the former director of a not-for-profit health clinic, I learned firsthand the critical need for affordable health and medical care and its impact on a local economy. As a ski instructor and outdoor enthusiast, I understand and value our iconic landscape and its many benefits. And as a mom with a third-grade daughter, I understand that education is our most important investment. The challenges we face here in Utah and our country are significant and complex. We need leaders who know how to prioritize and who will fight for Utah. We need leaders who understand the issues important to all of us. Building a strong economy, strengthening education, stewarding environment, and developing energy responsibly are not mutually exclusive. Not left, not right, forward is more than my campaign motto. It is my commitment to you. I will work across the aisles to get things done for Utah and our nation, not for partisan advantage. I'm focused on the mission of governance and delivering results. And I'm Donna McAleer, and I humbly ask for your vote. And early voting starts today, so please get out there and vote.
So that concludes our debate for the 1st Congressional District of Utah. Thank you both for joining us. And coming up next...
You have been listening to another Vote Utah 2012 debate between candidates for Utah's House District 1 for Congress, between incumbent Republican Rob Bishop and his Democratic contender Donna McAleer. For a repeat of this broadcast, tune into Utah Public Radio this evening at 7 o'clock. Support for coverage of the Utah Public Radio debate comes from AARP Utah, publishing voter guides for 25 years. Guides and information on state and federal races are available at aarp.org/yourvote or 866-448-3616. And from USU's Department of Political Science, committed to improving the community, the state, the nation, and beyond, and supporting UPR's coverage of the Utah Legislature. Information is at politicalscience.usu.edu.